Srimad Bhagavatam, 6, chapter 12, text
number 8. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Alokaha Shapala Yasyami Swashanti Vivasha Vashe Dvija Iva Sicha Badaha Sha Kala Iha Karanam Loka Shapala Yashemi Swashanti Bevasha Bashi Vija Iva Sicha Badha Shakalahiya Karanam Lokaha Shapala Yashemi Swashanti Vivavasha Vashe Vijayiva Sichabadha Sakalaiha Karanam Lokaha Shapala Yashyami Swashanti Vivasha Vashe Vijayiva Sicha Badaha Sakalaiya Karanam. Lokasapala Yasmini Swashanti Navasas Vashi Vijayiva Sicha Badaha Akalaiha Utasupalaya Shemi Sashanti Vavasha Vashi Dvijayiva Sichapata Sakalaiha Karanam Lokasapalaya Shemi Swashanti Vavashami Dvijayiva Sichapata Sakalaiha Karanam. Messages Loka Shapalaya Shemi Swashanti Vavashami Adaham Sakalaiha Karanam Loka Shapalaya Shemi Swashanti Vashapashi Vijayiva Sichapada Sakalaiha Karanam. Loka, the worlds, Sapalaha, with their chief deities or controllers, Yasya, of whom, Ime, all these, Swashanti, live, Vivasha, fully dependent, Vashe, under the control, Vija, birds, Ibo, like, Shicha, by a net, Badaha, bound, Shah, that, Kalaha, time factor, Iha, in this, Karanam, the cause, Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, the Bhai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. All living beings in all the planets of this universe, including the presiding deities of all the planets, are fully under the control of the Lord. They work like birds caught in a net, who cannot move independently. Please repeat. All living beings in all the planets of this universe, including the presiding deities of all the planets, are fully under the control of the Lord. They work like birds caught in the net, who cannot move independently. Purport. The difference between the Suras and the Asuras is that the Suras know that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the Asuras cannot understand the supreme will of the Lord. In this fight, Britashura is actually the Shura, whereas Indra is the Asura. No one can act independently. Rather, everyone acts under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, victory and defeat come according to the results of one's karma. And the judgment is given by the Supreme Lord, Karmana Doivi Natrina. Since we act under the control of the Supreme according to our karma, no one is independent. From Brahma down to an insignificant ant, whether we are defeated or victorious, the Supreme Lord is always victorious, because everyone acts under His directions. Om Agyant Mirandasya Chananjanan Shalakaya Chakshura Maritanjina Tashmaya Shri Gurave Namaha. So here, Britashura is speaking, yeah? So in the purport, Prabhupada's likening that although this is a battle between the demigods and the demons, Britashura is the leader of the demons and Indra is the leader of the demigods. But in the purport, Prabhupada mentions that actually Britashura is the Shura and Indra is the Asura. Because of his mentality, Indra is thinking that by my prowess I will gain the kingdom. I will win the battle and I will gain the kingdoms by my prowess. And Britashura, he is thinking that the result is not whether I'm victorious or not, that's not up to me. It's not up to my prowess. It's up to the Supreme Lord. He is controlling everything. In the form of time, the Lord assumes the form of time and he's moving everything in this world according to our karma, Deva Netrina, which Krishna knows very well. So the result of our karma, that's being given by Krishna in the form of time. So Krishna dictates to this energy, time. And time knows very well all of your karmas, your good karmas and bad karmas. So this is going to be the result of the fight. The result is already known. According to the previous activities of Britashura and Indra, we understand what the outcome is going to be because of their previous karma. So Prabhupada was given an example like this, and it was one Indian gentleman, and he said he had invented some telecommunications, something to do with telecommunication. And of course that time in India it was the British Raj were ruling and they wanted everything British, so everything they would get the credit for everything. So it was an Indian gentleman who was working with other scientists But he actually discovered it, this telecommunication thing. It was a new thing. And Prabhupada said, he said, I was there actually at one meeting when they were actually, he was discussing this experiment which was a scientific discovery. He said, but the British, because they wanted to take the credit, they said it was the other scientists, the British scientists who was working with it there also on the project. He said, no, he was actually the discoverer of this, and the Indian, he was just like the assistant. So they pushed him out of the picture and put the British up there. Look, we've got a new experiment, and the British are on top again. So Prabhupada said, then we might say, well, this doesn't seem very fair. The big bully British are here, and they're pushing their way around, and in the government, and the poor Indian, he has the brains to reveal the experiment and get the results of the experiment, but the British scientist getting all the credit. So it doesn't seem fair. But Prabhupada said, no, it is fair, because the result came due to their karma. He said that Indian person, even though he discovered that telecommunication thing, it wasn't his karma to enjoy it. And the British guy who was there, even though he didn't discover it, it was his karma to enjoy the result of it. So it was due to previous karmas that one is the enjoyer and one was the winner, one was the loser. So that's how everything is happening in this material world. But Indra is identifying himself as the doer, and naturally when you identify yourself as a doer, then you identify yourself as the enjoyer or the victory or the defeated. So that is quite natural in this material world. It's just the way it's designed. So this is how everyone is acting in this material world according to previous activities. It's like you get two men, they're working together doing the same work, and same business, different business, but same people, the same mentality, they have the same education, they get same facilities, they both start their business. One fails and the other, he is successful. Why is that? There should be, everything else was, it looked equal. Why did that man make money and the other one didn't? And that is coming from, he made money because previous birth, he was pious, he was dharmic. See, the artha or money, economic development means, like money means, economic development, that is coming from dharma. So it's a, progression. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You do your dharma properly, then you get your artha, you get your wealth. And then when you get your wealth, then you can get you can enjoy it. Then after, you can get, you go for liberation. Of course, nobody wants liberation nowadays. They like the enjoying part. But these are the progressive values of life. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And the man who made it rich, it wasn't because of his skill or his hard work in this life. It was due to his artha, his dharma in a previous life, his pious activities. The artha comes from pious activities, it doesn't come from anywhere else. So, of course, meeting a pure devotee, that's not dependent on any karma or anything like that. That is called this mercy if we can meet a pure devotee. And that's just good fortune. Actually, Bhavananda Prabhu was telling Prabhupada, I had a friend, we grew up together. We went to school together, we had the same education, we left together. We were the best of friends, we did everything together. We met the devotees, and I was, wow, yeah, fantastic. And he said, my friend said, yeah, you can go if you like, I'm not going to go become a devotee. So he asked Prabhupada, why is that? Because, you know, we were both exactly the same practically. How come I chose to become a devotee and he didn't? And Prabhupada said he was unfortunate, that's all. There was no other cause. He had the opportunity to meet a pure devotee and see the pure devotee to serve, but he didn't. He was unfortunate. And Bhavananda, he was fortunate. He met a devotee, he picked up on it, he served the devotee. And so that was his great fortune. So devotional service is beyond karmic action. So karma, the devotees are not governed by karma. Brahma Samhita says it purges the fire of devotional service, the fire of bhakti, burns all the sinful seeds in the heart, which may be remaining there. So the devotees, they actually become free from the Devanatrina, the rules of the material world. The devotees can become indifferent from the rules of this material world. So it's a also this story has very significance that Pusuwit, it's Ratiyatri, the festival is in a couple of days. So we just read this story of Dadichi, how they churned the bones of Dadichi to make the weapon, the thunderbolt weapon, to kill King Indra. Because of his piety and his austerities, he was very, very powerful. So those bones were very powerful. So they were advised to ask a donation of Dadichi's bones so they could make the weapon. And so they made the weapon from Dadichi's bones, and those bones, the thunderbolt was produced for India, but also other weapons were produced. And one part of those bones, it became the weapons of Agni Dev. He had one weapon in the Shatta Yuga, and Arjuna in Dwapara Yuga, he had a bow. I think it was or it may have been the one Agni Dev gave. Anyway, also Shiva had one. Shiva had the bow. You know the bow that he had in the Sita Swayambara? Someone had to break the bow. That was Lord Shiva's bow. That was also made from Dadichi's bones at that time. And the Ratiyatra festival, the origin of that, from the time of Indradyumna, you know the early history of Ratiyatra, when Indradyumna wanted to see Nilmadhav, and then Nilmadhava disappeared and Jagannath appeared there, the whole history there. So the when they eventually they installed Jagannath, because he went to heavenly planet a long time had passed, and so finally they installed the deity of Jagannath. So they had a Ratiyatra festival. So this Ratiyatra, this Rat that they had, this was originated in the at this time of this battle when Vritasura, this was Shraddha Yuga, I think, beginning of Shraddha Yuga. But this is when this battle was going on, and they fashioned these bones to make different weapons. At that time the Rat was also made. And it was a heaven, even living in there, it was in the heavenly planets. So when Indradyumna came and they wanted to install Jagannath, because all the devas were there, they brought that rat there down to this material world from the heavenly planets. And then they had that first Ratiyatra. I guess it went back after that. But nowadays in Jagannath Puri, they make, everything is wood. But they make a new one every year. pull from wood. But so that came when he threw that, when Indra threw the thunderbolt weapon, it split up in different pieces. So different personalities got, but the Ratiyatra is one of the creations of the Dadichi's bones, so it's very significant. This, we're reading this chapter now, this book, purport, these last couple of chapters. So, also significant here is how the devotees are completely dependent on the will of the Lord, and this is the difference. The difference between the Suras and the Asuras is that the Suras know that nothing can happen without the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas the Asuras cannot understand. So this is a devotee mentality. It's always understanding that everything is actually dependent on the supreme will of the Lord. So in yesterday's purport, the last sentence of yesterday's purport, Prabhupada's talking about the same thing. The British Shura encouraged Indra, saying, "Don't be morose because of my victory. There's no need to stop fighting. Instead, you should go on with your duty." When Krishna disappears, Indra had become despondent because he dropped his weapon and everything, his thunderbolt. That was the weapon, the ultimate weapon to kill the Ritashura, but he dropped it. He was completely embarrassed. He didn't even pick it up again because he was so deflated. So Ritashura is encouraging him, "No, pick it up, pick it up. Just go on with your duty. Don't worry about your success and failure." So, when is it? Prabhupada says, "When Krishna desires," Ritashura is saying, "When Krishna desires, you will certainly be victorious." Then Prabhupada says, "This verse is very instructive for the sincere, this verse is very instructive for sincere workers in the Krishna consciousness movement." You're all workers in Krishna consciousness movement, so it's instruction for you all, because you are sincere. "We should not be jubilant in victory or morose in defeat. We should make sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should not be concerned with victory or defeat. Our only duty is to work sincerely so that our activities may be recognized by Krishna." this is important because this is the consciousness that the devotees should have, this always being completely dependent on Krishna and understanding how everything is moving by his will, by his desire. Our only duty is to work sincerely so that our activities may be recognized by Krishna. If Krishna recognizes you by your activities, that is perfection. This is ultimately what the spiritual life is all about. We want to be recognized by Krishna. We perform activities to be recognized by Krishna, and then you have no problem. If you're recognized by Krishna, who is that? Kunti or Draupadi? Draupadi? When she met Krishna, I can't remember, asked anybody. Anyway, she said, "That time when you send a message with Uddhava," it must have been Draupadi, yeah? Huh? Or Kunti? Vidura mentioned. But yes, Vidura was a messenger from Krishna. And so she said, "The moment I got that message And you were actually inquiring about our welfare. How are you and the Pandava brothers, the sons? How are you doing? What is your... She wanted to know. Krishna wanted to know. He was inquisitive. He was asking about their welfare. So she said, as soon as I heard that message, that you had a little bit of interest in our welfare, I knew that nothing can stop us. Nothing can do any harm. Because you showed a little bit of interest. We're completely insignificant, but you showed a little bit of interest. And therefore she said, from that moment on, I was completely... Wherever we go, we can be banished in the forest for so many years and all these hardships, but... with the Pandavas, but she said, I always knew from that moment on we were under Krishna's protection. So we need the purpose of the Vedas, it's stated, is to achieve the favor of Vishnu, Krishna, the Supreme Lord. This is what life is all about. We want the mercy of the Lord. That's all. And we don't need anything else once we get there. So if Krishna's looking after us, and no one can kill us. And if he's not looking after us, who can protect us? So to be recognized by Krishna, this is one of the first instructions I heard Prabhupada. It kind of struck me. That Prabhupada said, first time I was sitting in a lecture with Prabhupada, was giving a lecture. And the first time I was hearing a lecture directly from Prabhupada's mouth. I walked in the middle of the lecture because we just met him at the airport. And I was just sitting down. Now Prabhupada was speaking. I thought, great, I'm going to hear at last. Great saint. I'm going to hear him speak personally. And so I sat down really attentive. And Prabhupada said, so do not try to see God. And I thought, I thought that we were supposed to be doing. We're all searching for God and searching for whatever it was. And here's the greatest saint, and he's saying, don't try to see God. And I thought, and then Prabhupada said, he said, but you act in such a way that God will see you. Okay, that was good. So that means bhakti, devotional service. Krishna notices you by devotional service. So if Krishna notices you, your life is successful. So this is what we want. We want to attract the attention of Krishna. So therefore, this is the meaning of seva. We try to serve Srimati Radharani, because if she gives her favor, certainly Krishna will give her favor. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote something that I would like to do my bhajan in Kurukshetra. So the disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they had this, whatever the poem or something, and they said, why is Bhaktivinoda Thakur here saying that he would like to serve, do his bhajan in Kurukshetra? Generally the Gauranga Bhaktas, they want to do their bhajan in Jagannath Puri or Mayapur or Vrindavan. Why Kurukshetra? Radharani didn't want Krishna to stay in Kshetra. So why Kurukshetra? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was explaining. He said, because of that incident when the solar eclipse were there and everybody went to Kurukshetra, they had that meeting. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, when Krishna went from, and all the Dvokavashis and Mathuravashis, everyone was there. So, now the Krishna is asking, Radharani is asking, after their conversation, that we would like you to come back to Vrindavan, please. So this is Radharani's plea. But it's hope against hope. How can Krishna go to Vrindavan? He's got 16,108 wives with him. So how can he go to Vrindavan, and how can they perform their Vrindavan pastimes? All the soldiers are there, and infantry and cavalry and all the armories and So how can Krishna go there with all that paraphernalia? So like it's hope against hope. Radharani is pleading, praying, you can, this is how we would like to see you with, as the young boy with your peacock feather and your flute, and we want to see you on the bank of the Jamuna. So it's hope against hope. How Krishna can do that in that situation? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that now Srimati Radharani, she's there also, but her heart is such a delicate situation for Radharani. She's longing, but it's hope against hope. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, like that, when Radharani's heart is like that, so tender and soft, her emotional state, if I can serve her during like this, I can very easily please her. If I can give someone another comforter, and she will very be pleased with me. She will very easily be comfort, if I can comfort her somehow or another in this situation. So therefore, I wish to do my bhajan at the bank of at Kurukshetra, because there I think I can please Radharani by because of her delicate state of consciousness, her emotional state of consciousness. I can somehow or another please her and pacify by my service. So therefore I can attain her favor very quickly. So therefore the devotees who want to attract the attention of Krishna, they serve Srimati Radharani because whatever she says or does, then Krishna will agree. So if she is favorable to the devotees, then Krishna is immediately favorable. So yeah, so the important thing is in this purport is that this dependence on Krishna, on the will of Krishna. And Prabhupada says we should just, we should not be jubilant in victory or morose in defeat. We should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we should not be concerned with victory or defeat. So here we should, all we should do, we should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is addressing the where did it say? Prabhupada's addressing the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Where was it? Anyway, Prabhupada said somewhere, I can't find it. The members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Oh, yeah, yeah. This verse is very instructive for the sincere workers in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Okay, we should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what this Mayapur is all about. This is what the mission is all about, especially in Mayapur. Because we have this extra special will of the Lord is here. The Arekput Mandir Hoi Vipikash Gauranga Nitya Seva Hoi Vipikash. That this is the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this wonderful temple we built here. Of course, everybody has the order to satisfy the desire of Mahaprabhu. Priti Priti Chatavaka Nagaradi Gram Savatra Pachavoyi Murana. That's what we're doing, everyone is doing. They're fulfilling the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're executing the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But here, especially in Mayapur, we have this direct order from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, revealed by Nityananda Prabhu to Jiva Goswami. And the temple is halfway finished, and the superstructure is finished, you all see. So it's very important that we will have this consciousness of why we're here, and help to participate in establishing this wonderful temple, to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because from this temple, Gauranga Nitya Seva, service to Gauranga goes all over the world. So all we have to simply do is to follow the will of the Lord. We may not understand how it's working, but that's all we should do. We should simply execute that instruction of the previous acharyas without considering the loss or failure. But if we do that, then you'll be guaranteed success. If we simply try to implement the instructions of the previous acharyas, following in their footsteps, there must be success, either immediately or later. So Prabhupada had this consciousness, and he wrote to one gentleman in India, and he was telling about our Mayapur project. We're building this temple 350 feet tall, we're spending this much millions of dollars, we got government permission, we got land. All highly exaggerated at that time, but nowadays it's not exaggerated, it's less than what he said. It's more, it's gone more than what he said. Prabhupada says, spend $1 million and take 10 years to build it. So that was in the 70s. Oh, then anyway, he was writing to this gentleman, we got this permission, we got all this, everything is ready, you know, like it's, everything is. And then Prabhupada said, but now, when the desire of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, it will be taken up. So when the Lord's desire is there, then it will be taken up. So Prabhupada was no fool to think, you know, we got everything, the money is there, permission, billion. Yeah, it's going to happen. When the desire of the Lord, it will be taken up. So this is a devotee's consciousness. He serves the Lord. He's expecting, of course, to get results to please the Lord. But ultimately, we're all dependent on the will of the Lord, whether it happens or not. So in our tour where we were propagating the Mayapur consciousness, COVP consciousness. So I was giving one example about is following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And so this was to do with the history of Radha Madhava. And these are the small deities of Radha Madhava. They were the first deities we had here before big Radha Madhava came. And in 1970-71, Srila Prabhupada was making his first tour of India with his Western disciples. And when they were in Vrindavan, one life member, Mr. Dalmia, he donated 3 sets of deities to Prabhupada. And one set went to Boston, one set went to Berkeley, and the other set Prabhupada kept with him on his tour. So they would go to different places and Prabhupada would bring out deities and they would have a program wherever they went. And very successful program. But when they were in Gorakhpur, you can read these explanations in the songbook, ISKCON songbook, in the translation of Jaya Radha Madhava. When they were in Gorakhpur, and Prabhupada was chanting this song in front of the deity, Jaya Radha Madhava, and then he went into an internal ecstasy for some time. And then after some time, he became external again. And he said, this is such a nice song. He said, it's a picture of Vrindavan. Everything is here, Radha Madhava, Jamuna, Jasoda Nandana, Govardhan. Such a nice song. So we like to consider that with the origin of before every Bhagavatam class now everywhere around the world they chant this Jaya Radha Madhava. We like to think that of the origin when Prabhupada was chanting to these deities. And also we like to think it was a name giving ceremony, Prabhupada chanting Jaya Radha Madhava and went into his ecstasies. Anyway, so he named them Radha Madhava. And then after the tour was finished, they came to Calcutta and Prabhupada said now they should stay in Calcutta. Then in 1972 we had the first ISKCON Gaur Purnima festival, Mayapur. And about 70 devotees came, mostly from America, because America was much more developed in Krishna consciousness. Anyway, it was a big success, and we brought the Radha Madhava from Calcutta. They were in the Albert Road temple with Radha Govindaji. So they brought them there, and they presided over the program. We had a panel, Prabhupada was there, spoke, invited all of his god brothers. That time he laid the foundation stone for the TOVP, right there where it is now. And he climbed down the hole personally, put an under dead. So when the festival finished, Prabhupada asked, where is Radha Madhava deity? They said they packed him in the trunk, they're going to go back to Calcutta. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, now they're here, they should stay here, they shouldn't go. So they said, Prabhupada, where will they stay? Well, where are the devotees staying? He said, we only had that Bajran Kutir. Everything else was some tents for the festival, that was all gone. He said, okay, they can stay in the Bajran Kutir until we build the temple. So then we were all living in the Bajran Kutir, it's 1972. At the end of 1972, Prabhupada was given some land in Hyderabad. And he wanted to make a temple, he did make a temple there. So they had a program, and so they said, we need some deities for a Hyderabad program. We didn't have any deities. At that time, there's only about three centers in India, probably. Three or four centers, Bombay, Vrindavan hadn't started, and then and Hyderabad, and Delhi, I think, and Mayapur, something like that. So there wasn't many deities, or ISKCON temples or centers anywhere. So they decided, well, we'll take Radha Madhava from Mayapur. It was like a nice size to see, about 20 inches. Because those programs are provided, thousands and thousands of people coming, big pandal program. And if you have little deities, and you can't see anything, so they said, we'll take Radha Madhava. So they swapped the small Radha Krishna from Calcutta, Radha Gopinath, and brought to Mayapur, and they took Radha Madhava to Hyderabad. And then when Prabhupada came to attend the meeting there, the festival, and he was taking darshan of the deity, he said, who are deities? They said, it's Radha Madhava, Srila Prabhupada. He said, from Mayapur? He said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. He said, I told you those deities should stay in Mayapur. Why did you bring them? When they go back, they should stay there, not leave again. So he wanted them to stay in Mayapur. So this all has very historic importance. Jay. More. There's more to the story. But Jayadeva Goswami, he was also living here in Navadvip. He was living at Palaldigi, Pritukunda. He was the pandit for King Lakshmana Sena. That Pritukunda, that's called Palaldigi. King Balal Sen was a great king there. His son, Lakshmana Sen, he had that kunda excavated and he named it Palaldigi. Digi means long pond. You can, in between the Jogpit and the Chaitanya Mat, just right directly behind the Chaitanya Mat, you see a big rice field by Murari Gupta Sripad. There's a big long rice field. So that's the kund. Digi means a long pond, very long. So right there, he was serving King Lakshmana Sen as the king or pandit. And he wrote many poems, and he wrote the Dasavatara Shrota, Jaya Jagadish Hare there also. So anyway, he wrote some other poems, and then he started to speak of a spiritual city that comes. A spiritual city will appear here. And the predominating deities of that city will be named Radha Madhava. Madhavki, Jay. So, you know, we may not know how things are happening. It just seemed like convenient that the deities were there in Calcutta. It's only 100 miles away from Calcutta, so it's very convenient. We're having a big festival in Mayapur. So it just so happens Prabhupada went into ecstasy and chanting Radha Madhava, and just so happens he said they should go back to Mayapur and not leave again. So we may not know how things are happening, but if we strictly follow him, trying to fulfill the desires of the previous acharyas, then everything will be successful. So that's being stated here. And this is all relative to you all. This verse is very instructive for the sincere workers of the Krishna consciousness movement. So, sincere workers, Prabhupada said, he mentioned twice, sincere workers, sincere. So that's what the bhakti yoga is all about. It's all about sincerity. It's nothing new, but we're hearing questions every day. Everyone's asking these questions, what about this, what about this? Sense control, mind control, yoga, all these different other things, and how to become humble, how to become tolerant, how to be this. Is it, we have... But there's nothing new. The instructions are there, the process of devotional service are there, the rules and regulations are there. If we're feeling some lacking, it is due to insincerity, that's all. There shouldn't be any of these questions. If we're sincerely executing, then you're going to start getting taste from chanting sleep. We're always hearing how to chant properly. Yeah, what about this? How can I keep my mind on the... sincerity is there. In your chanting, if you're sincerely chanting, you'll feel happy. You won't have questions. If you're sincerely chanting, humility will come. If you're sincerely following the process, all your devotional activities, you'll start to get a taste from. It's all due to sincerity. It's nothing new in Krishna consciousness. Everything's been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's given the process. He's giving the more Mahabharanaya Krishna Prema Vidayati. He's come to give Prema. That's his main mission. Actually, his mission is to relish also. But simultaneously give to others here. So therefore he's giving freely if you can accept it. If you cannot accept it, then he's teaching you to vairagya. Because prema you cannot teach. Well, yukta vairagya you can teach. Knowledge and renunciation, that you can teach. So Mahaprabhu, he's come to give prema and he's come to teach yukta vairagya. Knowledge and renunciation. Knowledge and how to use it. Everything is Krishna, so how to use everything in Krishna sense. Renunciation, anything that is not favorable for Krishna consciousness, we renounce. So this is the... So therefore, if you cannot accept that prema or guranga, then you're obligated to accept the second best thing, which is the Vedic sadhana bhakti process, which works. If you follow it, if you're sincere, you'll get the results. You start getting taste from it. Otherwise, why Mahaprabhu gave it? Why Rupa Goswami gave it? Why Prabhupada is giving it? The process of sadhana bhakti, which they don't use in the spiritual world, in Goloka. There's all spontaneous love there. Why they are giving a process that doesn't work and that they're not using in the spiritual world? That is because we cannot understand what is Mahaprabhu was given. So therefore, we're obligated to take the second best thing, that is Vedic sadhana bhakti. So everything's been chalked out, there's nothing new, all the acharyas have given everything, we simply have to follow it. As Prabhupada said, Gaudiya Math opened a Chaitanya Research Center in Calcutta. Prabhupada said, what is that research? Research has already been done. Goswami has already done it. All of our acharyas already researched. We don't have to research anything. We know Krishna, who Krishna is, who know we are, we know the Seva. And we got the whole process of sadhana bhakti. Advaita Acharya came to give the process of Krishna consciousness. So we know it. We've got it all. All we got to do is be sincere. And when we're sincerely in executing all of these different angas of bhakti, the Vedic sadhana, then you actually get a taste from it. Then you question, you don't need your questions anymore, you're happy. You don't ask. Because most of the questions, why I'm not feeling happy, why I'm not feeling. But if you're feeling happy, then there's no more questions. That's the whole idea, is that if you sincerely adopt the process, then it works. Another example is given in the Harinam Chintamani, and Haridas Thakur says that the two persons, they both get initiated, bona fide guru, bona fide process, bona fide mantra, yuga dharma, bona fide parampara. Same time they get, one is muchi, one is suchi. One is a high class brahmana, one is a suchi, muchi, a kobala, low class, in according to the caste system. So who reaches the goal first? Who gets the fruit of their devotion first? Obviously the suchi has less impediments. There's a lot more impediments for the muchi in the terms of rajagun and tamagun. So there's less impediments for the suchi because he's all sattagun. So then Haridas is saying, so who will reach, who will get the fruit first? Who will reach the goal first? The muchi or the suchi? And the answer is sincerity, yeah. One who is sincere, he will reach first. Whether he's a muchi or a suchi, it doesn't matter. That's not a consideration. The consideration is if you're sincere now in doing your Vedi Sadhana Bhakti, then you will get the fruit first. And then that sense of duty will be transformed into a sense of love. And then we can transfer ourselves into the process of spontaneous attraction for Krishna. So we serve in the mood of reverential service, but that reverence will be transformed into the mood of loving service when the Lord sees we are sincere, or the Guru sees we are sincere. So this is our part to play. Prabhupada's giving you instruction. You're all members of the society. So please take it to heart and give me your blessing also. I may be able to from it. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Tiyopipi ki jai. Samaveda Bhaktivrinda ki jai. Nitai go premanandi. Hari Hari Bo. Thank you. Hare Krishna. It's 9 o'clock. Hare Krishna.